Philippians chapter 4, page 1829 in the Bench Bibles. Philippians 4, beginning the reading at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And then our text. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. These the very words of God. This September, thought I'd bring you about 4 or 5 messages on Philippians in the service I lead. We'll overview the book, meaning look at about one verse per chapter. And when I overview a book, I typically start with the one verse I think is most helpful to understand the book. And I choose Philippians 4. The apostle is in prison. And that's not a nice place to be. The prisons in were worse than now. And yet he writes to the Philippians over and over again to have joy and rejoice. 16 times by my account. And 4 verse 4 picks that up. What we're going to do here is go through Philippians 4:4, word by word, opening up the verse. And I'll try to give you helps in applying the verse. And so let's get right into it. Philippians 4:4 begins with a word that's understood. It's you understood. That's what English teachers in school would say. It's you rejoice in the Lord. Now, let's not hurry too quick through that word you. Paul addresses it to the Philippians, but the Holy Spirit is addressing it to you and me today. To the Philippians, Paul said, you rejoice in spite of the fact that you had these two beautiful church helpers, Euodia and Syntyche, and now somehow they're fighting with each other. So rejoice in spite of church troubles. I've been through them, you've been through them. Rejoice in spite of your circumstances. The apostles in prison, which was a stinking hole in the ground, dirty, diseased, and no fun. They didn't have television in prisons and all kinds of privileges in prison in those days. You rejoice in the Lord. Now, you means you and me too today, folks. and we have to be clear about that. Some Christians don't rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord applies to Christians. It also applies, by the way, to non-Christians in sort of a two-step thing. Non-Christians can't rejoice in the Lord because they're not in the Lord. So non-Christians have to repent to become Christians, and then our text addresses them. Rejoice in the Lord. I do believe every sermon should include a call to repentance. If any of you are not in the Lord, Christians, please repent. You have to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. And then trusting in him, you become a Christian. And then you too rejoice. So Christians, rejoice. Non-Christians, repent and rejoice. Also, if any of you are Christians who are negative, you got to listen to this text. You really do. Someone might say, I'm a complainer, a murmurer, like those children of Israel in the wilderness. One man told me once, I'm a crab apple and my wife is a sweet apple. If that describes you, you've got to listen to this text today. Some people live by Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You need to listen to our text too. Some people say, I find satisfaction in my, and you put on whatever you want, my income, my wealth, my beautiful house, my alcohol and drugs. None of those things will lead you to rejoice in the long run. You need to rejoice in the Lord. Now, if someone says, I'm depressed, I want to recommend you get medical care right along with rejoicing in the Lord. It's incredible, the medical care out there. Okay, point made, huh? You rejoice in the Lord. And if I may add something yet, I guess, and I will. Rejoice in the Lord is a command. You probably picked that up, at least intuitively. It's not an option, a command. But I also sense that this command to rejoice in the Lord is a wise saying. So be wise and rejoice in the Lord, as well as obey the command to rejoice in the Lord. Use your common sense. The kind of person that a minister colleague of mine calls joy suckers. Spend too much time with them and they can take all the joy right out of your life. Minimize your contact with them. I have to, or they'll make me depressed. Rejoice in the Lord. Now that word rejoice. Rejoice as we sit is a command, it's an imperative, it's a call, it's a challenge. Rejoicing calls for wisdom, discretion, sanctified common sense. Re here, by the way, means do it. Find joy in the Lord over and over again, as in build and rebuild, new and renew. Subscribe and resubscribe. Joyce has to do with joy. I suppose the meaning of the word rejoice is so clear in English. Let's just go on to some applications. The first one is this. Distinguish, please, between rejoice and be happy. What does he mean by that? Well, we sometimes use the word rejoice and the two words be happy to mean the same thing. I don't think they are. I don't think Paul is saying, be happy. I'm happy in prison. I'm happy with those who are quarreling over how to present Christ, as chapter 1 says. I'm happy with you, Euodia and Syntyche, that these dear women have a fight going on between them. No. He's saying rejoice. Here's the difference. Happiness comes from an old English word, hap, that means happening or circumstances. Happiness is caused by external circumstances, happenings, or what comes to you. As in, I'll win the lottery and I'll be happy. You won't. The follow-up to lottery winner shows that some of them are the most miserable people under the sun, and I understand that one big lottery member from Chicago was soon after murdered. See, happiness is primarily a feeling. Happiness is a passive thing that comes from others. And happiness is temporary and fleeting. The apostle is not just saying, seek to be happy. He's saying, you rejoice. Now, rejoice, well, it comes from a Latin word that means joy. Rejoicing comes out of the person. Rejoicing begins inside of us. Rejoicing is active. Rejoicing is a choice that you make over and over again. That's the word, the weightiness of the word rejoice. Rejoicing is not something you do because of circumstances. It's something you do no matter what the circumstances. Rejoicing is something you can do even in sadness. And rejoicing continues even during lament, even during imprecating or wishing evil on your enemies, even when external happenings out there don't seem very happy. You see the difference there? I want you to hear the text. I'll go slow enough to just try to open up one relatively easy to understand text. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, a couple of applications. And one of them you're not going to see in English, but you do see it in the Greek. There are four Greek words that are closely related. The words are charis, chara, charizomai, and eucharisto. It's especially the first two, I think, that can help us understand how to rejoice as a process. The word charis refers to the grace or goodness of God. If you want a simple four-step model, maybe oversimplification, but I'm not sure. Rejoice, step one, is to see the grace of God all around you. And it is. Rejoice, step two, then, is joy. When you see the grace of God, it's only natural that you will well up in joy. By God's grace, we have a beautiful day out there. Last Monday, I brought out my garbage. I have a neighbor. I like him. He's always positive. I said to him, good morning. I said, how's your day going? He said, great, because I got up out of bed and I'm a-going again. He's about 80 years old. See, I wish he would have said, God woke me up healthy, well, and strong, and I'm, by God's grace, going. See how grace and then joy, and then the other two related words, spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities to help others. I'll get there very, very shortly to helping others. And then there's Eucharist, communion, means of grace. Be faithful in worshiping God. That book by Jamie Smith I mentioned has some great insights, and one of them is we simply have to give God time in worship. You got an hour out of 164 or 8? You got 2 hours to worship God twice on Sunday out of all those hours. You need to make worship a habit. That's what Smith is saying. Make it a habit. And that's a good thing with a good end. But rejoice in the Lord. Say a couple of other things. Practice rejoicing today and every day. Make rejoicing a habit. Read an article recently. Thought of an illustration when I was young. I had someone in my church who went to a camp and came home early. He said, I woke up in the middle of the night with ants crawling all over me. And he said, I didn't want ants in my pants. I don't like that camp. And so that's why I came home. Well, if you always think the negative, you trigger negative thoughts. And one name the psychologists give them is automatic negative thoughts, ants, A-N-T-S. You don't want ants in your pants, and you don't want ants in your mind. Now, people who rejoice in the Lord are aware of ants. They're not Pollyanna type of people. See everything only through rose-colored glasses. They're not unrealistic. They're not mere positive thinkers. But they don't fill their mind with automatic negative thoughts. They rejoice in the Lord. Again, use your sense, sanctified common sense. You can't change yesterday. You made mistakes, you sinned. If you need to, ask God for forgiveness. Learn from your mistake. But don't let yesterday play negatively in your mind. Do what you need to end yesterday. If you've got to go to apologize to someone, go do it. But don't let yesterday become a reason for continued negativity today. Yesterday's gone. Can't be changed. And don't worry ahead. There's a Bible verse, actually, Matthew 6 at the end there. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. Rejoice in the Lord today. Now, I'm going to step over to the piano a minute because I want you to sort of see the way the text is building up as I see it. If we take middle C here, it's you, and then you rejoice, we'll go up a step. And now we come to what I consider the key part of the text. Rejoice in the Lord, we'll go up another step. And then the apostle is going to say, always. We need a little bit of staccato or sustenato, sustending there. Hold it. Rejoice always. And then again I say rejoice. Let's make a staccato because again means some people don't seem to get it. So I got to say it again. Now, we've come to what I think is the emphasis in the text. Rejoice in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, I take it that in the Lord means rejoice in God through the work he's accomplished by Jesus Christ our Lord, as applied by the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in triune God. Rejoice in God the Father. He's the Lord God Almighty. We'll talk about that this evening, so I won't talk about it more now. Rejoice in God the Son. He's Jesus, Savior. Oh, you will hear from me repeatedly what Jesus' main names mean. Because some people just have trouble. Jesus means Savior. Matthew 21, he shall save his people from their sins. He's Christ, which means anointed one. That doesn't say so much always today. Able one. Able to save. Like, say, anti-venom from snake poison. Able to save. Read recently that there's some germs now that antibiotics don't treat. That would desperately change things in our world, I'll tell you that. Jesus is the antibiotic who treats any and every sin, even if we can't treat any and every infection. Able to save. And then Lord or ruler. God is ruler of the universe. Jesus shares in that lordship or rulership. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit, applying the work of salvation. Feel something of the power there? It's interesting what the apostle is not saying. He's not saying, rejoice in your comfortable house. He's not saying, rejoice in your income. He's not saying, rejoice when the gas price goes down. He's not saying, rejoice if this coming election for president doesn't have the tragic results so many people dread. He's not saying, rejoice if the doctor says you're completely healthy at your next physical, but you can't rejoice if the doctor doesn't say that. See, he's saying, rejoice not in things, not in this world, this life, rejoice in the Lord. Now, I really want you to feel the power of this text. But not just to pour intellectual stuff from the Bible into your head. Rather so that you can have the Bible put in your head today. And then go out and rejoice on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And come to church next Sunday and say, I rejoiced in the Lord this week. So how do you rejoice in the Lord? May I say first, by way of practical wisdom, look up to God. Now I know look up means look to God in another dimension, but look up to God. And here's a couple of ways to put that into simple shoe leather. Praise God. Praise means, I guess, rejoicing in God because of who God is. Thanks is rejoicing in God because of what he does for you. Praise God every day this week for who he is. It's one of the most important things I think we're going to say in this sermon. And the second thing would be to thank God. See, you're developing grooves in your mind that way that help you to rejoice. Think of Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer. Looked into her life once. A couple of weeks old, she had stuff poured in her eyes that made her blind. She had a wonderful grandma who told her she had to rejoice in the Lord, and she listened. Wrote her first song when she was 8 years old, How Happy I Am, and went on to rewrite many, many more hymns. And you can just feel blind Fanny's ability to rejoice. But rejoice in the Lord, praise him, thank him. also look back to the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You know, you can memorize today's text, folks. Not hard. The minister's going through it very slowly, almost laboriously. But I'm not apologizing for that, because I want that text to become a part of you and me. I've had to go through this too. And there are so many other scriptures. This evening's passage, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. There's one to memorize. Philippians is full of memorable verses. Look back to the scripture. Also look down against the devil, because he is a joy sucker, to use a word I defined earlier. He'll take the joy right out of your life. Now, today is not the day to talk about exorcisms. That's too complex a subject. But you're always wise to quote the Lord. When Jesus was tempted, the devil was trying to get the joy out of Jesus' life and work, not to mention make Jesus a sinner. And three times Jesus says, "It is written." And that beat up on the devil. You and I aren't strong enough to fight the devil with our own words and thoughts. He's stronger than you and me. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You quote Jesus, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Quit taking away my joy. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to thank God." See? And then look out. Others. Have you ever heard that little saying, Jesus first, joy, others second, yourself third? One of the best ways to rejoice in the Lord is to do something in the Lord's name for someone else. And we must, I know, finish the text carefully. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always means today, tomorrow, and as long as you live. You don't rejoice in the Lord one day and then become a crabber and complainer the next. Say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. When the Bible repeats itself, the Bible has a reason. Why would the Bible say, again, I say rejoice? Maybe because it is easy, too easy sometimes to live under the circumstances instead of above them. Now, I know that sometimes the circumstances overwhelm us to the point of sorrow and tears. Happens to me too. And it's pretty easy to live under the circumstances. Paul was under the circumstances in prison when he wrote the Philippians. Didn't know if he would ever get out. Caesar could have killed him any day on a whim. Could have got sick from the germ-infested prison conditions, and on and on. Sometimes we're under the circumstances. This text is a challenge, even when we're under the circumstances. Do not be overcome by circumstances, but overcome those circumstances by rejoicing in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. Now, here's the conclusion for today. You've heard the text, opened up in great detail. Take one or two or three things you need to take with you. Maybe it's memorizing the text. Maybe it's something you heard in the preaching on the text. Maybe it's a thought that went through your mind about what you need to do to answer the command of the text, the challenge in the text, the call of God in the text, the wisdom from the text. Take it with you and rejoice in the Lord this week. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for the scripture. And today in particular for this text, may we apply the text individually. May we apply it to our church life. May we apply it in the week ahead. Help us with all of those things. For Jesus' sake, amen.